Ksuvas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dod, 1-4, and again another Mishnah talking about the technicalities of who's entitled to 100 instead of 200 zuzin or ksuva. Again, maybe not appropriate for mixed company. I leave it to your discretion. The Mishnah says, Besula, a woman who is a besula, meaning she's a virgin. She never slept with a man before. However, she was previously married. She's either an almana, which means a widow, or a grusha, or a divorcee, or a chalutza. She participated in a chalitza. Mina nesuin, after she had already done nesuin. Again, as we said before, the two stages of marriage, the first, erisin, that wouldn't normally implicate, under any circumstances, intimacy, because he's just giving her kesef or shtar, giving her money, like a ring, normally. And she's, although legally married, not functionally married. Nesuin, we said, is being married in a functional sense. And therefore, the assumption is that any woman who is a nesua, a married woman, living as married couples do, so there's a chezkas ba'ula. Whether or not she actually did participate in such an act, the halacha is we assume she did. So even in a case where it's sort of like, you know, not really likely, like for example, since we said that the what effects being a nesua is chuppah, and chuppah might mean doing the bedek and, you know, putting the veil over her face, or bringing her into the chuppah under the canopy there in the synagogue, etc., which those kind of acts, obviously, while they may legally make her a nesua, it's a little premature to assume that at that point that they've actually been intimate. It doesn't matter. Once she crossed the line of being a nesua, she has a chazaka of being a ba'ula, and she no longer can get the standard 200 zuz, she gets 100. And that's what the Mishnah is saying here. A basula, if she happens to be, in fact, a basula, she never slept with a man, but she's an almana, grusha, or chalutza min ha-nesuin, but she is now widowed or divorced or become a chalutza from a situation in which she was actually a nesua, then ksubasan mana, her ksuba amount standard is 100 zuz, ve'ein lehen tainus basulim. And more than that, there's no such thing, since she's like at the 100 level, in the event that, you know, her husband, really her second husband now, you know, he would claim he didn't find basulim or something, that's too bad. He has no such claim. He can't make a tainus basulim. He's taking her on 100 level, and although he might have presumed that the basulim would be intact and she's supposedly a basula, if they're not, or he doesn't find them that way, he has no claim whatsoever. That's because she came in with the chezkas ba'ula, and therefore his claim will not be heard in court. She's already at the 100 level, so therefore he can't say mekach tos and get even the 100 back. No. Part B of the Mishnah. A giyores v'hashvuya v'hashivcha. If you have a woman who is a convert, meaning she started out being not Jewish, or she's a shvuya, she was a Jewish woman who was taken captive, v'hashivcha, or a woman who started out being a Gentile slave, which is like a quasi-Jew, and then all through these cases, they undo their situation to become regular Jewish women in Jewish society. Shenifdu, the captive woman was redeemed. Vishnizgairu, and the starting out Gentile woman converted. Vidnishtachru, and the slave girl had been emancipated. If that transition back to being part of conventional Jewish society as a Jewish woman, Yeseris al benos shalosh shanim v'yom echad, happened at an age after 3 years old, what we call the third birthday, what the Mishnah calls 3 years old in a day, but it means like what we call third birthday. Then ksuvasan mana, again, regardless of whether the fact she actually slept with a man, she has a chazak of having slept with a man, and therefore the ksuba will be just 100, as a ksuba, minimum. Ve'ein la tanas besulim, and similarly, ein lehen tanas besulim, there's no such thing as the husband then taking her to court the next day and saying he didn't find basulim. He has no such claim. He's taking her on that, you know, as is. Now, the rationale of this Mishnah is that there's just, kind of like the first part of the Mishnah, there's a chazaka that in Gentile society, women are ba'ulos, and therefore, if this woman was subject to Gentile society, we just assume she's a ba'ula. She's been with a man. So the giores, since she converted after the age of 3 years old, we assume when she was, after her third birthday, she was still a non-Jew and therefore a ba'ula. Same goes for the shavuya. She was a Jewish girl, but she was held in captivity by non-Jews. So we assume again that they had their way with her and she stopped being a basula. And same goes for the shivcha, since she was not really Jewish, even if she was quasi-Jewish. We assume that the shvachos behave like that promiscuously. And therefore, if she only became emancipated after the age of 3, we assume she's also ba'ula. Therefore, she gets 100 mana as our minimum ikr ksuba. Now, just the curiosity of the Mishnah, there's a lack of parallelism over here. The first part of the Mishnah lists three categories of women, Gioris, Shvuya, and Shivcha, and then three verbs of what happened to them, the passive verbs, how did they reverted from their status to being, I'll call it, conventional Jewish women in Jewish society. But they're not parallel. It should be the Gioris is first, so therefore the first verb should be the Giur, the conversion. The Shvuya is second, therefore the second verb should be the Pidyon, Sheniftu, because she gets redeemed. And then the third is the Shivcha, who is the slave girl, and then the appropriate verb would be the Shichrur, the emancipation. But that's not what happens. It says it out of order. It says Sheniftu, first we talk about Pidyon, redemption, then Shnizgairu, then we talk about conversion, and finally, Vinishtachru, we talk about emancipation. So why out of order? So the Toz Yontov says that he heard from his Rebbe, the Maharal Meprag, that the reason the Mishnah goes in this order in terms of the verbs is to tell you that the first one, Sheniftu, Pidyon Shvuyim, the redemption of a captive, that's already a mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs, and therefore it's mentioned first. Nizgairu, conversion, so we're ambivalent to that. You know, if a woman wants to convert, more power to her, and that's fantastic, but we don't, there's no such mitzvah, we don't force it, we don't necessarily even encourage it, and therefore it's in the middle. And finally, Nishtachru is last, the Shichrur, the redemption, the emancipation of a slave girl is said last because actually, under normal circumstances, one is not allowed to emancipate, meaning to set free a Shivcha. I'm just supposed to stay in that state, but there are scenarios where it's permitted to do, but in general, one is not permitted to do so, and therefore it's like in the category of an Aveira, and therefore it goes mentioned last in the Mishnah.